And all through time, music has played an important part in just about every facet in the lives of people. And there's songs to cover just about every subject you can think of. There's also all kinds of musical styles, too. Something for everybody's taste. Naturally, there is the classical approach. Or there's the easy listening sound.
I left my heart in San Francisco.
There's folk music.
When I was just a lad of 10, my father said to me, come here and take a lesson from the lovely lemon tree.
Or how about a little country flavor?
Well, there's just a little bit of magic in the country we're singing.
Or jazz. Rhythm and blues.
Do you like good music? That sweet soul music.
And rock.
Keep on rocking me, baby.
Of course, there's an unbelievable variety of styles within each of these major categories. You just heard some of the brief samples of secular music. However, if you listen to Christian music, you'll find basically the same categories of music. There's the classics. Easy listening.
Put Jesus first in your life.
Country.
Oh, sweet Jesus, my Lord and Savior. He gives sight to eyes blind and calls me to see.
There's even jazz. Rhythm and blues. Now rock.
Good evening. It's good to be here with you tonight. I'm Bob Beeman, and we're going to be looking tonight at music. We're going to ask some important questions. What is music saying to us, and what is its effect on us? Now, I'm not here tonight to put down any musical styles, but what I am here for is to ask some very important questions that I hope by the end of the evening we'll be able to answer. I'd like you to also save your questions until the end of the seminar today, and chances are, during the course of the seminar, we'll be answering those questions that you have. We have a limited amount of time. We're recording, we're taping this seminar this evening, and these tapes will be the tapes that will be going out with this particular ministry. Let's open up with a word of prayer and ask the Lord to bless our time this evening. Jesus, we thank you for our opportunity to get together this evening and to talk about music. Lord, I pray that everyone here would have an open mind into receiving the things, Lord, that you have to share with us tonight. We're excited, Lord, to see what those things are. We ask you to bless this meeting in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to talk tonight, in the course of this seminar, on 8 different topics. We're going to look at the area of the occult, of cults, violence, subliminal motivation, false theology, homosexuality, and the area of drugs. That's one we're going to start out with tonight. We could go through a variety of musical styles tonight, beginning with classical music. I could play some music that was written as a celebration to the Lord Jesus Christ, pieces by Bach, such as Easter Oratorio or some of his great works. We could play music on the other end of the spectrum, some music like The Sorcerer's Apprentice by Paul Dukas, or so many of Wagner's pieces. Music that were... A lot of the music, classical music, was written for the Black Mass to be celebrated in satanic worship. And so we can go through and look at both ends of the spectrum in all kinds of musical styles. Well, I'm not going to suggest tonight that music is either black or white. that it's either satanic or Christian. There's a lot of music that's just in between the two, like this piece. That one was really deep, wasn't it? So many times in my talk, I'm asked, where are you getting your information from? If you're questioning on where some of my information is coming from, I'd be glad to talk to you afterwards and tell you what magazine it's from, issue, page number, the whole thing, or where it comes from on the album itself, or when we get into the occult, talking about where it comes from as far as the Satanic Bible or books on witchcraft or those kind of things. I'd be glad to document any of this for you. Those of you that are listening on tape, feel free to write to me and ask me where any of this stuff is coming from, and I'll give you the documentation. I'm not going to give it to you in the course of my presentation tonight, because in going through all of that also, we'd be here all evening. We're going to talk first tonight, as I said, on drugs. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:18, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit." And in 1 Thessalonians 5:6 through 8, we read, "So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet." Well, we saw the 60s usher in what we called psychedelic rock, and much of the psychedelic music was drug-oriented. The Beatles, in their song Strawberry Fields Forever, the song is about drugs, and here the album called Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, we see marijuana plants growing in the front of this album cover. Jefferson Airplane, in their album Surrealistic Pillow, a group that changed their name later on to Jefferson Starship, there's a song called White Rabbit, which talks about hallucinating on drugs. But along with the real drug syndrome, we saw people starting to die from the drugs. People such as Jimi Hendrix, followed a few weeks later by Janis Joplin, and then, of course, a few months later by Jim Morrison of The Doors. More recently, people like Bon Scott from AC/DC. Looking at some of the top groups in the country, in the last 20 years, we've seen over 80 people who have died from drug overdoses. And those are just the top groups, the most popular ones. Well, let's look at some more album covers. Here's an album by Cheech and Chong, sitting in a car. And when we pull out the inside jacket, we see that their car is actually smuggling pot into the country. Here's an album by Peter Tosh. And in it, we see him smoking a pipe with marijuana plants in the background. And this album by the Doobie Brothers, named their group after a marijuana cigarette called a doobie. Jackson Browne, his song called Cocaine. The Rolling Stones, songs like Sister Morphine, Sweet Cousin Cocaine. Marianne Faithfull said, "I've been living on Sister Morphine for 10 years. Don't tell me drugs don't pay." Mama Cass Elliott said, "Pop music is just long hours, hard work, and a lot of drugs." Paul McCartney of the Beatles said, "Your mind is a great thing, especially when you're hallucinating." Alice Cooper said, "It's easy to get along with everyone when you're smashed all the time. The fun thing about being sober is meeting all the friends I've known for years and never remember meeting." Linda Ronstadt said, "I can sing better after shooting smack in both arms." Jerry Garcia of the Grateful Dead said, "Our music is the kind you listen to when you're high on acid." David Bowie said, "I'm junked out of my mind half the time. You can do good things with drugs." Glenn Frey of the Eagles said, "I'm in the business for sex and drugs." Well, because of our time, we need to move along, but let's look at the area of sex. The Bible says in Ephesians 5, verse 3, "But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality, or any kind of immorality, or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3 says, "It is God's will that you should be holy, that you should avoid sexual immorality." Well, not too many of you sitting here would be caught dead in an adult bookstore, like we see pictured here, but how many of us have pornographic album covers at home? We see in so much of the media today, as we see in these slides, that sex is used to sell things. It's big business. And the more sexually suggestive something is, the more people are apt to buy it. Well, the same thing is true in album covers. Here's an album by Sean Cassidy called Room Service. And in it we see a girl looking in through the Venetian blinds as he's getting undressed. Another album by Rex Smith. And this album by Pablo Cruz show the guys without any clothes on. Intended to sell the albums. This album by the Winkees. Van Halen, a very, very sexual group. David Lee Roth of Van Halen said, "The idea is to keep it as simplistic, as innocent, as unassuming, and as stupid as possible." One of the Van Halen songs is called "Everybody Wants Some," talking about sex. Phil Lynott from the group Thin Lizzy, when talking about Warner Brothers Records, said, "It's the only company I know that gives you a manual of where to go after gigs, nightclubs, bars, and the local VD clinic." Well, I'm not going to cover any more on the area of sex in this tape because I don't know who's going to listen to it, and I don't want to offend anyone, but we could go into a lot of things on sexuality. Let's do cover a few things, however, on homosexuality. And let's look first at a group called the Village People. The manager of the group, whose name is Jacques Morelli, formed the group as a protest against Anita Bryant. And the group, as you know, is a homosexual group. All the guys except for one in the group are homosexuals. Jacques Morelli said, "I'm trying to produce songs to make gay people more acceptable." Well, that is happening, because to date, we've seen that they've sold over 12 million copies of their records with songs such as YMCA, talking about hanging out with all the boys, and Macho Man. Well, when they were asked why all the girls come to their concerts since they're homosexuals, they said, "The girls are there because we're six sexy guys and they get off on all the sex that we're selling." Another group is Queen. And the word queen comes from a person who plays the female role in a homosexual relationship. Freddie Mercury, the lead singer of the group, has talked many times about his homosexual involvements. They have songs such as "We Are the Champions," which talks about homosexuality and has been used as one of the theme songs of the gay liberation movement today. Elton John said, "There is nothing wrong with going to bed with someone of your own sex. I think people should be free with sex." Another person that's very popular today is Lou Reed. He comes on stage in high heels, pantyhose, rouge, mascara, has songs like "Makeup," talks about coming out of the closet into the street. "Goodnight Ladies" talks about a lonely Saturday night that a homosexual spends. David Bowie met his wife when they were both dating the same guy and has talked many times about his homosexuality. And here we see an album by the Rolling Stones called "Some Girls," where the girls are actually the guys from the Rolling Stones. And in some of these close-up shots here, you'll see guys kissing Mick Jagger. See them dressed up as drag queens. Sylvester is also very popular in homosexual circles. Sylvester is actually a transvestite, dresses as a drag queen. The mayor of San Francisco not long ago proclaimed a day in his honor. And he's a proud owner of many gold records. By the way, Sylvester started out singing gospel music. Well, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, "Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders will inherit the kingdom of God." Well, the Bible also warns us in 1 John 4, verse 1, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." And then in Matthew 7:15 we read, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them." And then in Matthew 24:11 we read, "Many false prophets will appear and deceive many people." Well, the cults are growing these days. Not too many of you would go into a place like this one. It says spiritual reader and advisor, foretelling the future, talking about the present, and tells you what you did in the past. Not too many of you would join a sect like this one, the Hare Krishnas, with their shaved heads and their robes. And then we saw the nightmare at Jonestown with 900 plus people dying for a cause that wasn't even true. Well, we see those same things happening in music today. Here's an album by Neil Diamond. When we open up the inside of the jacket, we see where the material comes from for the record. Krishna, Religions of the World. See all of these things here? Here's an album by Quintessence with the Buddha symbol in front. We see that same thing in this album by George Harrison called Dark Horse. George Harrison said, "The main thing is to get the kids. You know, that's the Catholic trick. They nail you when you're young and brainwash you, and then they've got you for life." Here's a group called Yes, an album titled Tales from Topographic Oceans. The lyrics of this album are based on Hindu scripture, inspired by the book Autobiography of a Yogi. The songs talk about the science of God, sexual rituals, and reincarnation. Here's an album by the Moody Blues, In Search of the Lost Chord. This album also is based on Hindu doctrine. The listeners on the album cover are told to stare at the cover of the album to enter an altered state of consciousness. One of the songs in the album is called Om, O-M, which is a Hindu chant. Peter Townsend of the group called The Who is a follower of Mayur Bhava. His songs are about reincarnation and contain some of Mayur Bhava's Hindu prayers. And he says, and I quote, "Baba is Christ because being a Christian is just like being a Baba lover." Cat Stevens is a follower of the Islam religion, spends a lot of his time in a mosque near his Rio home. His songs Kathmandu and Moonshadow talk about metaphysical imagery, and then Earth, Wind, and Fire. This album is called I Am, which is the name of a cult. In one of the magazines, they talked about joining hands before going on stage to tune in the forces of higher power. And a couple of them talk about getting into Buddhism. Here's an album by Fleetwood Mac, and the album is called Mystery to Me. On the back of the album, we see a guy sitting in the TM pose, Transcendental Meditation. Some other guys into Transcendental Meditation are the Beach Boys. Mike Love claims to have fasted to communicate with nature and with birds. Todd Rundgren dedicated this album to the Egyptian sun god Re, R-A. Song lyrics are based on Japanese and Egyptian mysticism, and he believes in reincarnation. This album by The Doors, called Full Circle, represents reincarnation also. England Dan and John Ford Coley are into the Baha'i faith, as are Seals and Croft. How many of you listened to this song when it was popular? Let's look at the words a little more closely. Oh, hummingbird, mankind was waiting for you to come flying along. Heavenly songbird, we were so wrong, we've harmed you. Oh, hummingbird, lend us your wings, let us soar in the atmosphere of Abha. Lift us up to the heaven of holiness, oh, source of our being, oh, hummingbird. Well, many of those words are taken from the Baha'i scripture, as are some of the words from this song. And it says, go towards the crimson shore, beyond the life of metaphors, where doors of understanding's house decorates he them with cloves. Be lions roaring in forests of knowledge, whales swimming in the oceans of life. Prepare to meet Baha'u'llah in the garden of clove. And Baha'u'llah is a person that the Baha'i faith is based on. You see, we need to be careful of the kind of things that we're listening to, don't we? We see a lot of different cultic following these days, like the Rocky Horror Picture Show, for instance, with hundreds and hundreds and thousands of kids following them. Many of the kids talking about seeing the show 200 and 300 times, dressing like the characters of the movie, as you see pictured here, when they go to the movie. This person is one of the main characters of the movie, dresses as a transvestite. Here's some of the kids dressing the same way, going to the movie. We've seen a lot of other works done, like Jesus Christ Superstar. And some people say that it was a great work, except they forgot to include the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is the foundation of our Christian faith. Roger Daltrey of The Who starred in the rock opera Tommy, which was a mockery of Christ. It featured a crucifixion and things like child molestation. The Life of Brian, a movie done not long ago, portrays Christ as a homosexual. Its director, Terry Jones, said, and I quote, "My feelings towards Christ are that he was a good guy, even though he wasn't very funny." Jethro Tull, in this album called Aqualung, we see a lot of songs that are really put-downs of the Christian faith, like Psalm 43 that says, "If Jesus saves, then he better save himself." And on the back of the album, we read here, "In the beginning man created God, and in the image of man created he him. And man gave unto God a multitude of names, that he might be Lord over the earth when it was suited to man." And then it goes on. We see a lot of false doctrine and blasphemies happening in music today. Here's an album by the Gods called Nothing is Sacred. On the back of it, we see a mockery of Jesus Christ. Another group called Nazareth, and their song called Expect No Mercy. When you're backed into a corner and you can't find any way out, don't expect any mercy. And the Bible tells us that God is a God of mercy, and we can expect mercy from Him. Here's the group Police. The lead singer of the group, Sting, said, and I quote, "Success always necessitates a degree of ruthlessness. Given the choice of friendship or success, I'd probably choose success." Jimmy Zero of the Dead Boys said, "The nuns turn you into a wimp, totally dominated by your mother or your wife. Or you can become hardcore so that you can survive, like us." And here's an album that many of you probably have. It's a classic called The Wall by a group called Pink Floyd. And in this album we see a lot of violence. Let's read the words of this song. It says, "I'm just a new boy, a stranger in this town. Where are all the good times? Who's going to show the stranger around?" And then he says, "Ooh, I need a dirty woman." And he goes on, "Will some cold woman in this desert land make me feel like a real man? Take this rock and roll refugee." And then he says again, "I need a dirty woman." And then he gets a little depressed and he says, "Day after day, love turns gray like the skin of a dying man. Night after night, we pretend it's all right, but I have grown colder and you have grown older, and nothing is very much fun anymore. And I can feel one of my turns coming on. I feel cold as a razor blade, tight as a tourniquet, dry as a funeral drum." And then all of a sudden the music starts to change and he gets violent. And he says, "Run to the bedroom. In the suitcase on the left, you'll find my favorite axe. Don't look so frightened. This is just a passing phase, one of my bad days. Would you like to watch TV or get between the sheets or contemplate the silent freeway? Would you like something to eat? Would you like to learn to fly? Would you like to watch me try? Would you like to call the cops? Do you think it's time I stopped? Why are you running away?" Bad Company and their song called Heartbeat. Talk about tying up a lover to beat her. And when the singer suggests that she call the doctor, she says that she gets her kicks that way. Ted Nugent calls his music combat rock. Ted says, "Rock is the perfect primal method of releasing our violent instincts. I demand a reaction from an audience. Well, Ted does get a reaction. Recently, in a concert in South Carolina, 12 people were killed during a riot after the concert. Iggy Stooge, one of the pioneers of violence in music, was one of the first ones to slit his wrist during a concert and to inflict pain upon himself. Also one of the first to go on stage dressed as a woman. Keith Moon of The Who was asked why his hotel rooms were always so ripped up after he stayed in them. And he said, and I quote, "I get bored, you see. And when I get bored, I rebel." He said, "I took out my hatchet and chopped the hotel room to bits. All of it. It happens all the time." Pete Townsend said, "I believe rock is the ultimate vehicle for everything. It's the absolute ultimate vehicle for self-destruction." We see so much violence going on today, not just in music, but like movies. This one here that you see on your screen is called The Texas Chainsaw Massacre. A real bloody movie, and we see those kind of movies so popular today. But we don't have to go to the movies to see them. We can stay at home. I want to look at a TV guide. And this is from the week February 26th through March 6th, 1981. The cover of the TV guide gives us a little bit of a hint as to what television sometimes is all about. It says in big letters, "Hollywood's Cocaine Connection, How Drug Abuse in the Television Industry Affects Programs You Watch." Well, if some of you have a special TV channel, the kind that gets in those movies you have to pay extra for, you could have watched these movies. You could have watched 10, or The Herod Summer, or Cruising, all that jazz, all those things rated R, The Tin Drum, Nye the Juggler, says violence, profanity in adult situations, Schizo, again, violence, Alien. But you didn't have to have that special channel to watch some of the same kinds of things. Here's a movie called Reflections of Murder, about a woman who conspires with her husband's ex-mistress to kill him. This movie called Prom Night. Fear stalks the high school prom. A fiendish killer seeks revenge on four romantic teenagers who share one terrifying secret. Knots Landing, their episode called Prisoners. Here's a movie called The Secret of Three Hungry Wives, Love on Their Minds and Murder in Their Hearts. House Calls, Handsome New Doctor After Charlie's Job and His Wife. Dynasty, which is worse than anything I've ever seen on television. Blake's Cruelty drives his wife Crystal into her old lover's arms. And on the show you can watch one of his sons who's a homosexual, and you can watch his homosexual affairs with his male lovers. You can watch his daughter as she goes and sleeps with the chauffeur because she gets mad at her husband. Those things right on television. This episode of Starsky and Hutch, Hutch unwittingly falls in love with a prostitute. Real People, Hot Bikes and Cold Bikinis. This television show called Fallen Angel talks about pornography with 10-year-old kids. Here's an Eyewitness Los Angeles, a special news program. Go-Go Guys, were male exotic dancers just a fad? No way. See why they're more popular than ever. And this news special, Transsexual Family, How Do You Adjust When Mom Was Once a Man? You want your kids watching that one? This show called Vegas, Dan Tana rounds up his own Dirty Dozen to pull off the casino heist of the century. And we wonder why our kids are shoplifting. This episode of PM Magazine, actress Marsha Mason discusses meditation, the teaching of her Swami. You could have watched Battlestar Galactica. The living legend, Battlestar Galactica, by the way, is based on Mormon doctrine owned by the Mormon Church. The Amityville Horror, based on the occult, as was this movie, also in the same week, called Midnight Offerings, where we saw raw power against raw power, supposedly a good witch, using her power against a black witch, bad witch. And then this movie, Look What's Happened to Rosemary's Baby. Can Rosemary Stop the Forces of Satan? A masterpiece of the occult, it says. Talks about the birth of the Antichrist. You see, you could have watched all of those movies at home during that week, and many of you did. So parents, when you're talking to your kids about letting those kind of things come in through rock music, I want to ask you, how many of you watched those movies that week? And how many of you continue to let garbage come into your mind? You know, there's a saying, garbage in, garbage out. The things that we let come into our minds are the very same things that come out again. What are you letting come into your mind? Chuck Barris, who owns a number of game shows on television, also is the host of The Gong Show, said, and I quote, "The ultimate game show will be the one where someone gets killed in the end." Well, I'm going to move into the area of the subliminal. And here we see advertisements with a little more to them than what meets the eye. Here's a glass of Jim Beam, and it says, "Taste is all it takes to switch to Jim Beam." But a little closer up with one of the ice cubes, we know that isn't all it takes. Do you see the faces there? This one, it says, "I never knew gold rum tasted like this." Let's focus in a little closer to this ice cube. You see what's written there? Here, I'll color it in for you. S-E-X, sex. Again, sex is used to sell things. Here's another ad that maybe a lot of you have seen. New Winston Ultra. A man pictured here. For those of you listening on tape, you don't know what's on the slide, I'll describe it for you. It has a man with the red cap on with a cigarette in his mouth, and it advertises Winston Ultra. Let's look a little closer. Here on his cheek we see sex written twice. On his nose we see it written once. S-E-X. So you see, there's a lot of things our subconscious mind picks up, but our conscious mind doesn't. Years ago, during movies, when you would watch movies in the theater, they used to flash just a little bitty piece of film, and it just flashed the word popcorn or the word Coke, Coca-Cola, for you. And people weren't able to see that with their conscious mind, but their subconscious mind picked it up. And people would get up out of their seats and go and buy popcorn or go and buy Coca-Cola just because it was suggested to them. Well, that's not legal anymore in the movie theaters. But we see so many other things that are happening, like what we've just seen with subliminal advertising. Well, those same kind of things are going on in music. There's an album called Sing It Again, Rod, and in it we see the same glass of alcoholic beverage with ice cubes, and you'll be able to read a lot of things in that one also. Well, we've seen the subliminal filter into music, too. In this album, Abbey Road, we see Paul McCartney dressed in grave clothes. There was a whole propaganda scheme that the Beatles did to try to make people believe that Paul was dead. We played some of his songs backwards, like Revolution Number 9. It said, "Turn me on, dead man, turn me on, dead man." And other ones played backwards said, "Paul is dead, Paul is dead." Well, we know that he wasn't, but it's a whole propaganda thing that they did. Well, that wasn't the end of it. Other people have used that in music. On one of Pink Floyd's albums, this one called The Wall once again, when you play a portion of one of the songs backwards, it says, "Congratulations, you have discovered the secret message." And it tells you where to write to get more information. But also, on their Wall album, The Wall, that we saw just a little while ago, here's one of the songs, and it says, "Harmlessly passing your time in the grassland away, only dimly aware of a certain unease in the air, you better watch out, there may be dogs about." Doesn't make a whole lot of sense until you turn the word dog around and it spells God. I want to read it in that reference. "Harmlessly passing your time in the grassland away, only dimly aware of a certain unease in the air, you better watch out, God may be about." Then he says, "I've looked over Jordan and I have seen things are not what they seem." What is over Jordan? The Bible tells us heaven is over Jordan. That's taken from Scripture. "I've looked over Jordan and I have seen things are not what they seem." Then he goes on, "What do you get for pretending the danger's not real? Meek and obedient, you follow the leader down well-trodden corridors into the valley of steel. What a surprise, a look of terminal shock in your eyes. Now things are really what they seem. No, this is no bad dream." And then he goes on to to do what sounds like an instrumental portion in the song, but actually there's quite a few words to it. I'm going to let you listen to that instrumental portion. Okay, let me tell you what you just heard. It said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me down to lie. Through pastures green he leadeth me the silent waters by. With bright knives he releaseth my soul. He maketh me to hang on hooks in high places. He converteth me to lamb cutlets. For lo, he hath great power and great hunger. When cometh the day, we lowly ones, through quiet reflection and great dedication, master the art of karate, lo, we shall rise up, and then we'll make the bugger's eyes water." Then the song goes on and says, "Bleeding and babbling, I fell on his neck with a scream. Wave upon wave of demented avengers marched cheerfully out of obscurity into the dream." And then it says, "Have you heard the news? The dogs are dead." In other words, God is dead. You better stay home and do as you're told. Get out of the road if you want to grow old. Black Oak Arkansas is another group that has used a lot of things in their music. Here's an album called Keep the Faith. It says, "The teachings of Black Oak Arkansas." Well, what kinds of things are Black Oak Arkansas teaching us? Well, we get a little hint from some of the album titles, like this one, "Race with the Devil." Here's an album just called Black Oak Arkansas. On the back of it, we see Jim Dandy, the lead singer of the group, on a cross. Do you see that? One of the songs that Black Oak Arkansas do, Jim Dandy describes dying and going to a place he called the House of Karma. And he says, there Satan and God were grabbing for his soul. And he says, "Satan has my soul now for his good while I'm here on earth. But," he says, "when I come up again, I want the Lord to have mercy on my soul." Well, it sounds like he maybe wants to have God be in control. But when we play this song backwards, taken a portion of the song from The Date Electricity Came to Arkansas off of the Ranch and Roll album, we see when it's played backwards that it says, "Satan, Satan, Satan, he is God, he is God, he is God," and then he laughs afterwards. I'm going to play that for you now. I'll tell you right now that that wasn't put in there by mistake. Let's look at a few other groups. Electric Light Orchestra, another one. We see from their El Dorado album that the music is reversible. Now here's one of the songs played backwards. Then on their next album, on a song called All for All, when you play one of the songs backwards, that song, All for All, it says, "Face the Mighty Waterfall." Then on their next album, they had a song called Waterfall. You see, it was all leading up to this. And when you play the song Waterfall backwards, here's what it says. It says, "You are crazy. You are the nasty one, Christ the Infernal. Everyone who has the mark will live. You go home and you play that backwards, that's exactly what it'll say. Another group that's done the same kind of thing is Led Zeppelin. And we're going to talk a little more about Led Zeppelin a little farther on in our seminar tonight. But they had a giant hit, and the song was called Stairway to Heaven. How many of you here had or heard the song Stairway to Heaven? Every hand is going up. Well, there's a few keys that we can take from the song when we play it forward. Let's listen to just a few segments. Here's one. Okay, we found out there that sometimes words have two meanings. All right, let's put that together with this portion. Told us that there are two paths that we can go on, but it's not too late to change the road you're on. Now, it sounds like it could even be a Christian song, doesn't it? Because when we play it backwards, we're going to find something altogether different. Our other clue is farther on in the song, where it says, your stairway lies on the whispering wind. Okay, first of all, it told us that sometimes meanings have two words, and there's a whispering wind that our stairway, in other words, the path we're supposed to take, lies on. Well, all we need to do is play the record backwards, and we find out what it's saying to us. Well, you're saying now, well, what difference does it make if they're playing something backwards? You know, our minds are able to take something that's backwards, and it's our subconscious mind, it turns it around and sticks it in our subconscious, and it's there. Whether it's backwards or not, your mind is a fantastic thing. Well, I want to take this song and play a little bit of it backwards. This first portion you're going to hear says, I live with Satan. Here we go. Next he's going to say, there's no escaping it. It's just my sweet Satan. Which one will be the path whose power makes me sad? There's power in Satan. Then it will say 666. Then it will say my friend Satan. Here we go. Song, and here's what you're going to hear repeated in this ending. First of all, and this is all backwards again, it'll say, we are one. Then it'll say, his power's within me. Then it'll say, his spirit's within me. Then it will say, we need to be one. Then it says, I'm living for him. Then it says, I know that's the way now. And then it says, his power's in me. Here we go. Thank you. Well, we could go through quite a few other artists and play things backwards. But what I wanted to prove with that is that there's a lot of things that the music is saying to us that we're not conscious that it's saying to us. Subliminally, you see, it's saying some things to us. Well, let's go on here. Here's a group called Lucifer's Friend. Alice Cooper is real big. Alice Cooper believes that he is the reincarnation of a 17th century witch named Alice Cooper. Alice Cooper said, and I quote, "I understand that all an audience wants is sex and violence." By the way, he's the son of a preacher man. Here's an album called Alice Cooper Goes to Hell. And one of the songs in the album says, "You can go to hell." I have so many things we could talk about on each one of these groups, but we don't have the time to go into all of them tonight. Here's a group called Styx. And Styx get their name from the river Styx, which is a river in hell. And here on this album cover, you see them burning in hell. That's where they get the name from. Here's a group called AC/DC. AC/DC, by the way, means bisexual. One of their songs is Hell's Bells. And it goes like this. Got the feeling, going to take you to hell. I'm going to get you. Satan's calling you. Hell's bells. He's ringing them now. Hell's bells. And then this song, called Highway to Hell. Living easy, living free. Season's tickets on a one-way ride. Asking nothing, leave me be. Don't need reason, don't need rhyme. There's nothing that I'd rather do. Going down, party time. All my friends are going to be there too. I'm on the highway to hell. And then he goes on, no stop sign, speed limit, nobody's going to slow me down, like a wheel going to spin it, nobody's going to mess me around, I've paid Satan, paid my dues, playing in a rock and roll band, hey mama, look at me, I'm on my way to the promised land, I'm on the highway to hell. And in the album cover, Highway to Hell, you see him with horns, there's a 5-point star, with a tail depicting Satan's tail in it. But I want to turn your attention, right between the AC and the DC, which looks like a lightning bolt, is actually a satanic S. And it's used as the symbol, one of the symbols, for the satanic church. Now here's that same symbol on a necklace worn by Anton LaVey. This man that you see here in this picture is the high priest today of the satanic church. The man that wrote the satanic Bible that we're going to show you in just a few minutes. But there around his neck in this close-up shot, you will see that same satanic S. And you'll also see it on albums by this group, and the group is Kiss. Gene Simmons of the group said, "You don't always get a chance to punch somebody in the face when you feel like it. When people become disenchanted with the world, they turn to fantasy, and here we are." Gene Simmons also said, "Cannibalism has always been of interest to me. I've always wondered what human flesh tastes like." Well, we see a lot of things going on in their albums. Gene Simmons of the group always sticks his tongue out, and he's got a really long tongue. And that long tongue, friends, is an ancient symbol of pagan demon worship. That's what that's all about. Kiss are real popular. Here's a comic book that was done by Marvel Comics on the group. And in the comic book, the group has featured as demons. They're called demons. A pint of blood was drained from each member of the group and mixed with the blood on the presses so they could say the comic book had been printed with the blood of the group. By the way, the comic books were geared towards 9 through 11-year-old kids. The music itself tells us a little bit about the group, too, with songs like King of the Nighttime World. Who does the Bible say the king of this world is? Satan. And that's who they're talking about, King of the Nighttime World. Well, here's another group, Black Sabbath. Notice the same S there? See, it's identical in all three groups, and you'll notice it on a lot of record albums. Black Sabbath. Here's an album called We Sold Our Soul for Rock and Roll. And the inside of the album, we see a lady in a coffin with a cross driven in her chest. Let's look at some song titles. Here's the song, Children of the Grave. And this song, Lord of This World, says, Lord of this world, evil possessor, Lord of this world, he's your confessor now. In this album by Black Sabbath, we see a witch featured on the cover. Here's a picture of Ozzy Osbourne. He used to be the lead singer of the group. Ozzy saw The Exorcist 26 times. He says, I was compelled to do it. I couldn't help myself. Here's the newest album by the group called Heaven and Hell, where we see three angels sitting, smoking cigarettes, playing poker. Here's a picture that was taken from one of the group's concerts. And we see the cross. You see the cross on the top there? Burning the cross. Here's an album called Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath. On the back of the album, we see a man supposedly dying and people praying over him, it looks like. But when we turn the album to the other side, we see that those people have turned into demons. And on the back of the album is a skull. And right below it are the numbers. Here they are. 666, which is the number of the Antichrist, the Bible tells us. When you write in to the fan club, the Black Sabbath fan club, they'll send you back a t-shirt. And on the t-shirt will be this skull with 666 on it. Bumper stickers for the group say, I am possessed by Black Sabbath. And always in their concerts, they're giving the symbol of the Satanic Church, which is the small finger and the pointer finger held together. And they tell people that it means long live rock and roll, but that's not what it means at all. It's the symbol of the Satanic Church. We see the skull being used in a lot of album covers, as you see here. The skull, again, a symbol of Satanic death. And there it is in a lot of album covers. Grateful Dead use it a lot. Here's an album by Molly Hatchet. By the way, Molly Hatchet gets their name from a lady named Molly Hatchet, who lived a few centuries ago. This lady had sexual intercourse with many, many men and had them beheaded after she made love with them. And the group named themselves after this lady. Here we see pictured in this album cover, a guy with red eyes. And this man is called the Reaper, and you see him in a lot of art. He's called the Reaper. A Reaper is a person who comes to claim a person's soul. A person that Satan sends to claim their soul when they die. Well, we hear a song that's been real popular on the radio called Don't Fear the Reaper by Blue Oyster Cult. And it says, don't fear the Reaper. Take his hand, go with him quietly. It repeats over and over again, don't fear the Reaper, don't fear the Reaper, don't fear the Reaper. The Reaper, friends, is Satan. That's who they're talking about. You see, Blue Oyster Cult, they're not into any of that kind of stuff. Well, here's some album covers by Blue Oyster Cult. You see the symbol right here? It looks like a cross with kind of a hook in the bottom of it. That's a Greek symbol. It's a Greek symbol for chaos. And on the back of this album, we see a person who is sitting here reading a book with black gloves on, and friends, that is depicting the reading of the Satanic Bible, which is always done with black gloves on. Blue Oyster Cult. Here's an album by Styx called Crystal Ball. He says, soon as I find a crystal ball, he says, tell me, won't you tell me, and then tell me again, my heart is aching, I just gotta know, crystal ball, there's so many things that I want to know, crystal ball. Well, a lot of people are using the crystal ball. Today, here's an album by Kenny Loggins using the crystal ball. Fleetwood Mac used the crystal ball. The Dirt Band, the crystal ball. Also on this album, you see the red rose, which is a sign of secrecy, a symbol of secrecy, and satanic human sacrifice and death. Red rose is always on a black background. Well, you say, just because we have a red rose and a black background, does that mean that it's necessarily satanic? No, it doesn't. Because some people use that symbol, they don't know what it means. But a lot of people do know what it means. Here's the Eagles. So many of you are Eagles fans. And here we see them with the red rose and the black background. That is no coincidence. Here's an album by the Eagles called Hotel California. The song talks about being somewhere between heaven and hell, it says. Not knowing which place it is. And the end of the song, we get a hint of what they're talking about. It says you can check in, but you can never check out again. Inside of the album cover, we see a lot of people standing in the lobby, and I want to direct your attention to three archways and the top of this lobby. Here's a close-up shot, and that person in the middle archway is Anton LaVey, the high priest of the Satanic Church today, the man that wrote the Satanic Bible. It's not just coincidence that he's there on this album cover by the Eagles. There's Anton LaVey as he appears on the back of the Satanic Bible. And here are the two copies, the Satanic Bible and the Satanic Rituals Bible, companion to the Satanic Bible, both written by Anton LaVey. I'm going to take a lot of the information I'm going to be giving you in the next few minutes from these two books and other books like them. Here's some books you can check out from the library, by the way, that tell you how to go about practicing witchcraft, the occult and supernatural, the coffee table book of witchcraft and demonology, the ABCs of witchcraft, past and present, dictionary of the occult. You can get all these books from the library that are very accurately telling you how to go about practicing witchcraft. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 18, verses 10 and 11, let no one be found among you who sacrifices his son or daughter in the fire. By the way, that's done today many times. Or who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft, or casts spells, or who is a medium or spiritualist, or who consults the dead. Well, that's going on today. You can pick up some of these periodicals. It says good news predictions, people predicting the future. Here's a magazine called The Star, with Gene Dixon predictions in the inside. I'd like to read you a few of Gene Dixon's predictions. Here's one that she made in 1965. She said, Russia will be the first nation to put a man on the moon. In 1977, here's some of her predictions. Jimmy Carter will have assassination attempts and personal scandal. She said, inflation will lessen. She said, terrorists will blow up and capture a New York skyscraper. And she said, Billy Carter will be Jimmy's greatest asset. The Bible tells us not to listen to those kind of people. And yet, people buy magazine after magazine, newspaper after newspaper, when these people are making their stupid predictions. Yes, they're right once in a while, because Satan is a good guess. But the Bible says that a prophet of God is right 100% of the time. Be careful, friends, in the kind of things that you're listening to and the kind of things that you read. Here's a comic book called Sabrina, the Teenage Witch. She's supposedly a good witch, and I want to tell you right now, there is no such thing as a good witch. This picture shows you what witches are all about. Here's a witch's coven sitting around in a circle practicing witchcraft. Here's another comic book called Black Magic. And then we go on. You don't have to necessarily open up the pages of the Satanic Bible, and by the way, I would recommend that no one listening to my voice today even opens up that cover of the book unless you know that you know that you know that you know that God told you to do it. Because you're really asking for trouble if you do. But you can find many of the exact same things that are found in the Satanic Bible in these books, Dungeons and Dragons, were the fastest selling games in the country today. And friends, it is basic witchcraft, through and through. That's what the whole thing is about. Let's open up the book and I'll show you a few things here. Here we see a guy with horns, a demon. Here's a portion that talks about astral projection going out of your body. ESP, crystal balls, how to use them. Clairvoyance, reincarnation. Here are some of the symbols of the Church of Satan. 5-point star with circle around it, triangle with circle around it. A symbol that's used in witchcraft. Levitation. Spell casting. The astral spell. The death spell. You see, all of these things are in Dungeons and Dragons. Some of them are word for word from the Satanic Bible. You say, well, it's a harmless game. You talk to some of the kids that have gotten involved in it. And when they sit and tell you that they can't do anything else but go to school and play the game, something is possessing them. And it's not God, by the way. We have a fascination with the occult, with demons. Here's a billboard, the demons await you. Here's an album called Bat Out of Hell, Meatloaf. And in it we see demons in the background. Here's another album by Tomita. We see demons that look a lot like the other ones. These demons are called dregs, D-R-E-G-S. That's the name of these demons. Funny, we should have a group today called the Dixie Dregs. Here's one of their albums called Night of the Living Dregs. Dregs of the Earth. Why the fascination with demons? The composer of the group Meatloaf, the picture that I showed you, the composer of the songs, Jim Steinman, said, "I've always been fascinated by the supernatural and always felt rock was the perfect idiom for it." The lead singer of the group said, "When I go out on stage, I get possessed." Joni Mitchell credits her creative impulses to a male demon that she named Art. She talks about roaming naked with him in her 40-acre retreat and says she will leave parties, anything, to follow him when he calls. Here's an album by Santana called Abraxas. Abraxas is the name of the demon of witchcraft. Here's an album by Uriah Heep called Fallen Angel. What does the Bible say a fallen angel is? It's a demon. The song is talking about a phenomena called succubus. And succubus is where a demon spirit materializes itself to be a woman and has sexual intercourse with a male human being. That's what the song's about. Bob Marley is real popular in reggae music. Reggae music, I don't know exactly how you pronounce it. But Bob travels with his own witch doctor. And here's some album covers by a group that we looked at before called Earth, Wind, and Fire. And here you will see some occult symbols that we've already shown you, some that we will be showing you. There's the five-point star. There's the Ankh, which is used in Satanism for fertility. Also, in the background we see the pyramid, which is satanic, by the way. And I wish we had time to go into where the pyramid came from and how pyramid power is used in the Church of Satan. It's a supernatural power, and it is from Satan. And in it we see the symbol of the Illuminati, which is an off-branch of the Satanic Church. And in the foreground, we see what looks like the number four. Actually, when we see where that symbol comes from, we know that it's not the letter four, but it is used in this witch's altar. It's also used in astrology, and it's also used in palmistry. It's a symbol of the occult. Well, here we see the five-point star. And people say, well, when the five-point star has its point down, then we know that it's the symbol of the Satanic Church. But that's not true. It doesn't matter. Here in this picture, we see the point up. And this five-point star with a circle around it is taken from a witch's altar. Here's how the star is formed. You see this man here? His head forms the point that is up. His two arms are the two side points, and his 2 feet are the 2 points that are down, the five-point star with a circle around it. We've seen a lot of album covers today. Here's album covers by Rush. Stars. The Pentacle. A lot of album covers are using the five-point star with a circle around it. You see it on television. You see it all over the place. I want to tell you today that the five-point star with a circle around it is the symbol of the Satanic Church. Now, there are probably a lot of people using it today that don't know what it means, but I do believe that there are a lot of people that are using it that know perfectly well what it means. When the point is down, the symbol is taken from the goat head. And here you see the goat head. See the horns are the 2 points up, the ears are the two side points, and the chin is the point down, the goat head. Goat head is the animal symbol of the Satanic Church, has been for a long time. Here's a group by Styx called The Grand Illusion. In the back of the album, we see a bunch of trees with the reflection of the trees in the water. But not everything in the water is reflection. Here's the goat head. An album by the Rolling Stones is called Goathead Soup. And every Halloween for the Black Mass, one of the things they do to celebrate that Black Mass is they have goathead soup. It's not just coincidence that the Rolling Stones use that in their album. I want to tell you some things about the Rolling Stones. Most of you are familiar with the Rolling Stones. They've been together for over 17 or 18 years now. Brian Jones was the founder of the group, and Brian Jones was very much involved with satanic things. He is dead now, by the way. Died mysteriously, as predicted by an I Ching consultation. But we said before that Brian Jones was very, very much interested in the satanic things. He was interested in the power of satanic music, and he even traveled on one occasion to do some studying with some natives in Morocco. There he watched the power that the music had in inducing trances and the strange power that came from the music and the dance. Well, Brian taped the music, and he used it in the background of some of the music that we see today that is so popular. One of the songs is called Sympathy for the Devil. Here's a portion of that. And in the background, you will hear some actual recordings of a voodoo ceremony that Brian Jones taped. Song is about Satan. There's no denying it. Their Satanic Majesty's Request is the name of this album. It was to have included a bizarre photograph of Mick Jagger naked on a cross, but the record company wouldn't allow them to do it. Much of the record is taken from occult literature, such pieces as The Secret of the Golden Flower, which is a tale classic, The Book of the Damned, The Morning of the Magicians, and many writings on black magic by Arthur Machen. I'm going to talk about him in a few more minutes. Tony Sanchez, in his book, Up and Down with the Rolling Stones, writes about Anita Pennenberg, formerly Brian Jones' girlfriend, now Keith Richards' girlfriend. He reported that her and Mick Jagger were into black magic. He says, and I quote, "In her bedroom, Anita kept a huge, ornate carved chest that I assumed was her drug stash. The house was empty one day, so I took a peek. The drawers were filled with scraps of bone, wrinkled skin, and fur from strange animals." He said she once soaked a handkerchief with the blood of a dying accident victim near her Marrakesh home, and later used the bloody handkerchief to place a curse on a young man who made her angry. He died shortly thereafter. Kenneth Anger was a close friend of the Stones. He's an American filmmaker, also a follower of Aleister Crowley, who is a man that we're going to talk about in just a few minutes. He taught the Stones a lot of Crowley's power and his ideas. His films, always demonic subject matter. One of his films that was popular was called Invocation of My Demon Brother. Another film that he wrote was called Lucifer's Rising. The project was never finished because the leading man was convicted for murder, which ended in his writing on a wall with the victim's blood. A BBC production, The Rolling Stones Rock and Roll Circus, showed at the end of the film a segment where we see Mick Jagger singing Sympathy for the Devil. And during the song, he rips off his shirt to reveal a huge, ugly tattoo of Satan on his chest. In 1969, at the Altamont concert, Meredith Hunter was killed while the Stones sang Under My Thumb. At another concert, Sanchez in his book describes a concert, and he says the concert had a strange, evil atmosphere. Several kids stripped off their clothes and crawled up to the stage. Looked like a human sacrifice when they offered themselves as victims of the Hell's Angels and the Rolling Stones. The more they were beaten and bloodied, the more they were drawn to the stage. The violence transcended all comprehension. It was then that they started getting into the voodoo ritual which the Stones sang, and they forgot about the blood and pain they were going through as the Stones began to sing Dancing with Mr. D. Keith Richards of the group says, "People think you're a songwriter, that you wrote it, you're responsible for it. Really, you're just a medium. You just develop a facility for picking up things. You just have to be ready to be there, like being at a seance. They just come to me out of the air. Whole songs just come to me. I don't write them. I just receive them." We talked about Aleister Crowley, and Aleister Crowley lived during the turn of the century, died in 1947, wrote many things about witchcraft and Satanism. A very, very evil man. Here is a picture of his housekeeper with the mark of the beast tattooed on her chest. Here's a picture of Aleister Crowley's nightstick, and on it is engraved the beast, 666.